I think I have the recorder going and we can hear each other.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my gosh, that's like the happiest thing.
Oh my gosh. I seriously, my eyes are watering up. I'm like, are you kidding me? Is this really happening?
Okay, I just have to put this out there again. We have been trying to record a message for, well, we tried with a Google Hangout that we did a few months back in October.
Right.
And what did that take us? Probably an hour and a half to 2 hours of two different tries?
Easily.
Yeah. And then the recording had all the reverberation on my side, and that just drove me crazy. So I got a mic. Susan got a mic. And we thought we'd record some audio, and then we've tried how many different times? I don't know.
Oh, my gosh. Like, way too many times. For something that seemingly is so simple, this has been the craziest thing ever.
Unbelievable. And so, I put out a little plug out there in Facebook and just said, y'all, I am trying to record a conversation with a friend, and it is ridiculous how hard this has been. Would you just pray?
Goodness.
And the next thing we tried, within just a matter of a couple of minutes, we finally got audio. Praise God.
Honestly, I could hug and kiss whomever that was lifting us up. And I'm so thankful because, my gracious, I was ready to pull my hair out.
And I was totally willing to drive 30, 40 minutes down to your house and help you out. Whatever. I don't know. Try again to see both of our computers. But
truly. Truly. Ah, so, okay, well, we need to know who our prayer angel is so that we can get her to pray every time we get ready to record something. We just say, okay, girl, do your thing. You and Jesus have a talk because we need
you. Amen. Amen. Oh, my goodness. And I'll tell you what, I have some amazing friends who do that and who send me prayers on Facebook messages, and it is such an encouragement to not just hear somebody say, I'm going to pray for you, but to actually read their prayer or hear their prayer.
There's something about that, isn't it? It's just knowing exactly what they say and just know that it's such a personal prayer for you.
Mm-hmm.
It's very moving. I agree. So much better than just, would y'all pray? Click like if you pray. You just click like. Like,
right.
You know, nah. Nice.
It's so easy to do that because I think we'll click, at least I do, tend to just click like with a quick intention to pray.
Mm-hmm.
But I try to catch myself and no, I'm not even going to do it unless I've actually prayed. Like,
same here.
Right there. Because
I've done that so many times. You're exactly right. Like, oh yeah, I'll pray, click like. And then I'm like, wait, what?
Yeah.
Who was it again? Yeah, no.
Yes, somebody sent me a message yesterday that I happened to not see till this morning. And it was a long, beautiful, beautiful word of encouragement and a powerful prayer over me. It had to do with my birthday yesterday. And
yes.
It was just a blessing over the coming years and the coming freedom and walking in my calling. And it was just, oh my gosh, it was so touching. I was in tears.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, that's what happens when you rise up writers, girl. Like, they write with you in mind. Come on. That's beautiful.
It has been crazy amazing. Okay, so I told you that I was holding back on something that I wanted to share with you today.
Yes.
So between Rise Up Writers and we're doing this link up and seeing the stories, the link up is asking the question, what does it mean to rise up with our words? Or I phrased it two different ways because I think it prompts different types of thinking, and I wanted to hear kind of both. Also, what does Rise Up Writers mean to you? That's the name of the encouragement group, but it's also a call to rise up. Okay, so there's been a few people that have linked up, some that have commented, some that email me, and when they share their stories of not feeling like they could be considered a writer and feeling encouraged in actually doing what God's put on their heart, and in the same process experiencing more freedom and hearing from the Holy Spirit, I just completely moved to tears. And so it kind of ties with when I started blogging, I didn't know that I could even make sense with my words because it was through such extreme stress, which, you know, like signs of PTSD and depression, anxiety, but it was a creative process to keep my brain moving.
Mm-hmm.
And God still used that time for one person in particular whose life has been transformed because God used that in his life, but he was already on a journey to seek the Lord. So just God just happened to use the words. But this morning, I received a comment on one of my blog posts, and it was another guy. And so this is one of the things that I'd like to do with my writing is I don't believe it's just for women. I believe it's for all of us. Mm-hmm. And I do have several male readers, which I think is a great thing. I mean, God can use our voices together. Anyway, so I got this message this morning, and I recognize the name, but being that I know people from different areas, the name sounded kind of familiar, but I wasn't sure that it was who I thought it was.
Okay.
And they said they had stumbled across my blog and they had some thoughts, and then they were really encouraged to read some more and wanted to actually put some of their own writing out there. And I found out it was somebody I went to high school with.
What the what?
I don't think he realizes that we were in high school together yet, because I don't think he realizes what my maiden name is, or how he landed on my site was probably through somebody else that I went to school with.
What crazy small internet world is this? That's wild.
I know. And it makes me so excited, because it's a redemptive part of God's story in my life. High school, grade school, I had so much fears and the peer pressure and feeling like I didn't fit in and all that. And most importantly, that anything that I had to say or ideas that I had to share didn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
And God has brought people whom I did not have a chance to connect with, or may not have connected with for different reasons, in high school, connecting with me now, mm-hmm. online, because mm-hmm. of the words that he puts to use in me and through me.
Isn't that just beautiful?
It's just a testimony, and that God can redeem those really painful moments when we lean into it and don't let it be what cripples us forever, that we can see his redemptive thread come through.
Yes. Yes. I so agree, because so many times we have our own limitation around how God can use our past and how he can use our experiences. And when we release them to him, and when we fully embrace the highs and the lows of those stories, then God can begin to reveal, just as you said, his redemptive thread. How beautiful is that thought? That he weaves through that entire thing. But as long as we hold this tight grip on it, mm-hmm. of what that past means, mm-hmm. we miss God's message in it. We miss God's movement and healing and deliverance and reconnecting. Mm-hmm. Like, he's reconnecting you to a part of your past. Like, you and this guy might not ever become BFFs, right? Like, you might not right. go hang out and get coffee. But the fact that he ties back to some areas in your life that maybe you had closed the door on, or you had a prescribed definition of what that season in your life meant, and God gets to turn it and give it new meaning. That's powerful.
Mm-hmm. And I love that part of just, you know, holding on too much. And that's been one of the things that God's whispered in my heart so much, is letting go of the past, but also learning how to confront the past. And so, mm-hmm. It's a unique balance, because it's in not forgetting and dismissing what's happened.
Yes.
It's, you actually do have to press in and lean in some areas so that God can bring that healing and the Spirit can bring comfort mm-hmm. in those areas. But then it's not staying there. It's allowing the thread to continue.
Mm-hmm.
And so I keep visualizing it. You know, I'm a visual person, and I'm sure other people have visualized it this way too, but, you know, taking a ladder and climbing up. And when we grip too tight on one of the rungs, you can't grab the next rung.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's like holding on and letting go at the same time.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, I'm very passionate about our past, because I know that it, in so many ways, we allow our past to define us. Mm-hmm. Now, and to really put a cap on our future based mm-hmm. upon our past. And I just believe that God wants us to look at our past, not in, oh gosh, look at the few wins and the huge losses, but instead he wants us to look at the wins, celebrate those, and look at the lessons. Mm. Now, when we can look back at our life and see the lessons, then we get to stay in the creative process that God has for our life. We get to stay in the unfolding that he's doing in our life because we keep seeing the lessons. I believe that's why we have the Old Testament. That's why we get to read the stories, because we get to see the lessons and the principles of God's character, mm-hmm. of his provision, of his redemption, and of his plan. We get to see it come together and become real in that New Testament. And so we get to do the same in our lives if we'll allow ourselves that it's not about the losses and the mistakes mm-hmm. and the hurt and the harm, but it's about the lessons. Like, somewhere in there, God revealed himself. Let's be searching for him.
Mm-hmm. Amen. I love that. Not about the loss, but about the lessons. That really helps us to kind of reframe. And, you know, one of the things about, for me, I keep using the hashtag choose hope, because Jesus is our hope. And when we're looking so much at the things that are going on around us, we're missing where he is and where he's trying to take us. And, you know, we get stuck. And I've been there so much, just stuck in the pain. But at the same time, when I was able to specifically look at it from a new perspective, you know, like you're saying, the loss versus the lesson, and kind of change, what is it that you have for me in this moment today, Lord?
Yes.
And where do you want me to look for tomorrow?
Mm-hmm.
Even if I'm not there right now, and being willing to just take that step that kind of changes the perspective a little bit and says, okay, I'm scared, but I'm willing.
Yes.
I'm willing to take that next step of trust. Like, I don't even know that I trust you, but I want to trust you. Mm-hmm. And he can work with that. It's taken those little steps, and he can do so much with that.
Truly, what if all of us chose to look at our lives and say, we're exactly where we're supposed to be?
Hmm.
Just take that in and say, where I am is exactly where I'm supposed to be. Because too often we want to say, I'm not where I should be. I should be further ahead. I'm actually behind. Mm-hmm. We're always, and it's like, behind what? Because mm-hmm. if we truly trust that we're in God's hand and that he has a sovereign plan for our lives, then he doesn't make mistakes. Right. So where we are is exactly where we're supposed to be. Now let's make sure that our hearts and our minds are connected to God, so that he can reveal what his plan is in the midst of this. Because mm-hmm. I'm sure that someone is going through some serious hard times and they're thinking, I'm supposed to be here. Like, mm-hmm. what's that? Right. But even in the hardship, you know, I think of stories like, I think of Corrie Ten Boom, right? Think of her story and how she chose, in the midst of the Nazi encampment. I mean, I can't think of, I'm sure there's some other hard situations harder than that, but I think of how she chose into staying connected to God no matter what,
mm-hmm.
and seeing his redemptive hand no matter what. And things got hard and things got scary for her, but she said, no matter what, I trust him. And her story has stuck with me, that I've said, I want to be that. God, I don't want to only praise you when things look good, or when I think in my own limited mind, I've got your ways figured out. I want to praise you regardless of the circumstances. And I want to see your hand in this moment.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm frustrated, when I feel alone, when I feel isolated, I want to see you right now. I want to know you. Not know of you.
Amen. Amen. That's, you know, that's the tagline that I have for Rise Up Riders, is to know, it's know, be known, make known.
Mm-hmm.
Because when we use our words, we can use them for good or for bad, right? And a lot of believers Christ followers, or stating to be Christ followers, we get filled up with bitterness and things in our hearts. We're not actually focused on knowing Christ. We start becoming more focused on the things that are keeping our hearts focused, unfocused on Christ. And then those words impact others. Well, in order for us to be able to make much of him, we have to know him. So the vision is to know him more in order to rest in being known by him so that we can make his truths known.
Beautiful. Beautiful. And he's doing that. And as much as you're encouraging others and gathering others, he's also doing that in your life as you just experienced through that message.
He is. And I keep trying to put this in words. It's just so, it's hard to capture. And I know others, I think, have said this too, but the more I know Christ in an intimate way, the more I realize how little I know.
Yes.
Because as somebody who's a contemplator, a thinker, a learner, a student, it's easy to get caught up in the knowledge in the sense of facts. And it's has to be much more intentional to pursue the knowledge of intimacy and relationship and need. And that's one of the most grateful things that I have for the trials that I've had with God, that it brought me to a desperate state where I could not hardly function in one single day. I needed him so, so much.
And my experience of hardship is that it's in hardship where we say, you know, that we're desperate for God and we can't do anything for him. But I feel like what he's really doing is exposing our everyday experience. But when things seem okay to our mind, we think that we're in control. We think we've got it together. And it's in the hardship where we get a true glimpse of our everyday dependency upon him.
I love the way you phrase that. Because that's the truth. It is. I've been trying to remind myself on a daily basis how much I need him, because I've experienced it in such a deep way. But the reality is it's there every day.
It really is.
Yeah. And that illusion of control and trying to attempt to control things, it just doesn't bode well.
We got to see how little control we had just of trying to get connected using technology so that we could speak, right?
Amen.
But it wasn't until there was a call for prayer, aka, let's get God on the scene, and we need him to do this, otherwise it won't work. Look at what happened.
Absolutely right. And you know, one of the things that you didn't get a chance to hear me say, because I forgot who was able to hear who it at what point, and I got confused with the boxer, was we could look at this from one of two perspectives, right? We could look at this and say, okay, well, apparently we're not supposed to do this right now because it's such a challenge. Or the enemy really doesn't want us to do it, so we really need to do it.
Wow. And don't we face that scenario over and over again in our lives? When we face hardship, we're saying, okay, is this a closed door? Do not proceed, back away from it. Or is this a press in and rise up the warrior spirit within us and go to battle because this is what's right?
Yes. I think, you know, it's not always easy to make that discernment. And sometimes we just have to take those small steps of faith into pressing through to see what God's going to do with it, but continually keeping our hearts, ears, and minds open to the things of Christ so that we become in tune with his spirit and his, and you know, when we're spending time and getting to know God, we're getting to know how he works better in knowing him. And that helps us also, maybe we do need to turn around and change direction, or maybe sometimes, this is one of the things I put in my newsletter a few weeks ago, was we can sense a call from God and he gives us maybe a big vision, especially some of us visionaries. And he'll show us something that's, you know, way over the waters on the other side. And he's asking us to take those steps forward. But we think that those steps forward are, one, they're direct, and two, they're always going to end up there. And God's actually saying, well, actually, maybe this is a test of your faith. This is a process, and I want you to step forward, but I may move over here and I want you to go here. And then I may move over here and I want you to go here. Mm-hmm. And then we may go back to the other side of the shore again.
Mm-hmm.
And being available and willing to surrender the thoughts that we have of that plan frees us up to take those smaller steps without worrying so much about whether or not it accomplishes the end goal. I mean, we need to have those end goals, but not get caught up in not and to the point where it paralyzes us. And today, you know, so
I love so much what you just said, because it's so true. I mean, when I, as you were speaking, it reminded me when God rescued his people, when he rescued Israel and he from the Egyptians, he sent them on a path, a course to the promised land. Mm-hmm. But so many times in our mind, we want the promised street address, right? Like there's a specific place home that's mine, mm-hmm. and I want to get to that. And God said the promised land, that is vast. And you can be in the right space. It doesn't look like this exact spot that we want to, you know, frame it up as it must be this exact place. That's where God has for me. Mm-hmm. He says, no, I want you in the center of my will.
Amen.
Just stay there. And I love that you said stay attuned to him, because you're exactly right. And so many times when God calls, to me, it is a call to take up the cross and follow him, with that understanding that there will be some burden attached to it. There will be a cost that will be paid. There's a price that must be paid in following him. It's not a tiptoe through the tulips experience. Therefore, that means God's blessing and hand is upon it.
Mm-hmm.
We get to embrace this journey knowing that God has made provision for everything that we need in order to stay in the center of his will. And so just like you said, our goal then is just to stay in tune with his spirit, his leading, and to follow him with no promises of big, beautiful home and lovely car and kids all well behaved and marriage is rock solid, but knowing that there's going to be some costs.
Mm-hmm.
And we're saying, yes, Lord, knowing there's costs, we still say yes to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Amen. I keep picturing too, you'll probably hear me say a lot of visual pictures, but you know, when what we're doing is so encircled with the storms, God gave me this vision, you know, about a year and a half ago when I was in church, and I wish I could draw it. Maybe I'll be able to draw it someday, or my daughter can, but it was a picture of me in this, and anyone could put yourself in this picture. But standing there with my hands raised up and looking towards God, and all around me were the storms, everything that was going on in my life, all the circumstances, the things that were pulling me, the things that were hurting me, everything that just was swirling. And he was above the eye of the storm. So you know how like in a volcano, it funnels down. And so I'm in the middle of that. And he's looking on me, and he's got the whole thing in his hand.
Mm-hmm.
And he's saying, I'm holding you in place. Mm-hmm. My eye is on you. Don't turn to the left or the right, because as soon as I start to look or move towards either direction, I get caught up in that whirlwind.
Oh, now you said volcano, but I'm guessing you meant tornado.
I did say volcano. That's
you
funny.
Did. That's kind of hot.
But that's
I don't
a whole.
Want to be in this? Yeah, I don't think that's.
I'm
the
sure
visual.
I could come up with another whole visual for that. But you're right. I meant tornado.
Okay.
That's hilarious.
Like as soon as you said volcano, I was like, oh no, girl, not following you there.
I have a lot of words tripping myself up in my head. Thank you for clarifying. Okay, so hurricane, tornado, you know, the swirling wind with a lot of junk in it that can really hit you and hurt you.
No question. And I've actually lived in Florida before, so I've been through a pretty severe hurricane. Mm. And it was pretty incredible to, well, we were one of those people that my mom was like, we're staying. So I was like, okay, we're staying. Mm-hmm. And then it got to be really scary. And we were like, oh man, I'm not sure why we stayed, as we're watching, you know, our back deck get pulled apart and pieces flying and people's, you know, neighbors' lawn chairs coming over into our yard. I mean, it was like, oh my gosh. But then all of a sudden it just got quiet. and the sun came out and we went outside in the street and it was this beautiful blue sky, sunshine. And we just kind of stood there like, this is beautiful. But you're exactly right. As we look to the east, black clouds. I'm talking darkest of dark. And as we look to the west, the same. It was like all around us was black. But if we look straight up, it was the most beautiful blue sky. The whole environment around us was so peaceful. And then all of a sudden, like someone flipped the switch, the wind picked up again and we could feel the rain in the air. And it was like, get back inside. And the second part of that storm, which is usually the worst, the back end, hit. And but I'll never forget that experience. It was pretty profound.
Wow. Yeah, that's probably a more accurate description as a hurricane versus a tornado, but that's
because well, I found the tornado scary too. I was like, I'll just go with hurricane. I can't volcano. I can't see that.
Volcano, tornado.
The tornado is too unpredictable. I don't know. I can't.
Yeah,
do.
You're right. Yeah. So picture it like a hurricane. I really wish I could paint this somehow. That is not one of my gifts. But just to be creative, I may do that someday just for fun. But yeah, I love that because when we can be reminded of those things, and these may be words that we've heard before, I find sometimes, you know, I've been around being taught the things of faith for such a long time. And sometimes I hear things several different times, but every time that I do, God brings deeper meaning or brings it to a deeper place in my heart. And so when I think of, you know, this kind of keeping your eyes centered on Christ, we can hear that in so many different ways, but it's such a truth, and God's truth is alive. And I just pray that anyone that hears this today would just be encouraged in their own storms, their own journeys, to remember to look up. There is beauty with him, even in the midst of horrendous things. And I say that with the deepest, you just, man, can I even be brave enough to say that? Because when you've watched children be, you know, heard the stories of the abuse and some horrendous stories, but it was the one thing that I could give them in hope was Jesus does not desire you to have these circumstances for people to treat you in ill ways, but he is present and he does care.
The only thing I would add to what you just said is I would remove the but and just say and. Like, you've got the trials, you've got the hardships, scary situations, a lot of uncertainty, and God cares. And he's right there with you.
That's powerful, Susan. Yes. This is one of the reasons I love having conversations with you. You encourage me, you inspire me, and you challenge me in very good ways.
Well, I feel the same. And I just love that, you know, we got to actually record this, because this is what we would do if we were just going for a walk. This is exactly how we would talk. So I'm glad that we actually get to replay, because sometimes you say something that is so profound and I'm like, dang it. I wish I could hear that again. And this time I can. So awesome.
Likewise. Likewise, friend. Well, I'm super glad that we had the opportunity to finally get this done, and that we're going to continue to pray and continue to have conversations and see what God does.
I agree. Look forward to it.
All right. We'll talk to you soon, Susan.
Sounds good.
Bye-bye.
Bye.